about buying or selling a house, or just want to know what might be going on with one of your biggest investments, then come hang out with us for a little while. Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall, and welcome to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. We are sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, Network Title, Chad Prebian, Eric Bloomstrand, Bell Bank Mortgage, James Tolson with Country Financial, Gray Duck Staging and Design, Cregan's Construction and Structure Tech Home Inspections. Check us out online anytime at TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. There you'll find all of the greatest home searching, researching tools, as well as our past shows. Tons of great information there. Today we're going to be doing our third in a series that we've been kind of doing here for the past few weeks about home buying and kind of, you know, what to expect once you find that home you like, and maybe some tips and to help find some of the better deals that are out there. Joining me today, Danny Deedle, broker, owner, Bricks Real Estate. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
First time in the new studio.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Yes. And Chad Prebian, co-host, thank you, as always, for coming in. So, yes, today talking about home buying, part three, right? So you get out there, and we talked about that home buyer priority checklist in the past shows, and that is so important. If you're just catching this show, go to TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. There you'll find our past shows talking about why this is so important. Or download our free guide, the Smart Home Buyer book, that's on there as well. And that's really kind of what we're working through in this series of shows. However, this dives in a whole lot more, and these books are all free. So, yeah, when we get out there and we've done that home buyer priority checklist, we know what's important, we've taken care of the financing end of it, so we have everything set up, you know, it's time to go out and start setting up showings. We talked about last week finding red flags on houses. And, you know, when you check out that satellite view and make sure you're not fully, you know, vested in the photos, right? Because, yeah. I mean, you just went through this process. How often are those photos correct?
Very rarely. Satellite view I found most helpful.
Yeah. Definitely. Satellite view and Google Street View.
Yeah, Street View is great.
Yeah. Super helpful. You know, it's like, you know, you can save yourself a ton of trips, honestly. You know,
sure.
Don't just hop in the car and drive out until you've taken the time to do that. It just takes you a second to check that out.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, those pictures, they can actually be deceiving in a good way, too. We'll get into that in a second. But, like, when you start finding homes, we all want to find good deals, especially in a market like we're in, right? We saw appreciation rates, what was 14.9% in the Twin Cities, I think, that it went up. You want to find these good buys out there. And the good buys, a lot of people immediately think of, you know, foreclosures and short sales. And at the end of the day, currently, they make up such a teeny portion of our market. And actually, just before the show, Danny, we were discussing, well, is there going to be a big influx of foreclosures and short sales? And you had mentioned, you know, because of the equity that people have in their homes, that they're, you know, not going to end up in that position.
Right. So, I mean, just on that. So even if you have people who are going to be in essentially a distressed situation, 14.9% appreciation year over year, which is insane. So even if somebody bought a year ago, assuming they bought right, not everybody certainly does, but if you bought at, you know, quote unquote market value, right, at a price relative to where somebody else would have purchased, you have an equity position by definition. And so, yes, maybe with COVID and, you know, some of the job losses and things like that, you may not be able to afford those payments, but you still have an equity position. And also, this isn't 08 where, you know, unless you're doing VA, where you're putting 0% down. So you've already got an equity interest with your down payment. So to see any kind of distress situations where people are losing their houses or short sales, again, unless they bought terribly wrong, most people are in an equity position, as well as keeping up with maintenance.
Good point, too. And the lending guidelines are a lot more strict than they were back in our situation in 08. You know, we don't have the no income, no asset, or no documentation loans, you know, so we're in a better lending standpoint as far as less risk.
Lend you 110% of the value of the house.
Yeah.
Mega am.
40.
One other way to look at it, too, depending on what you bought and where you bought. But if you bought anything like around the median, give or take probably $100,000 or on the upside, more likely than not, you can rent that house for more than your payment.
Yeah.
Rent is still more expensive in most cases versus a mortgage payment with any kind of decent amount down. So it'd be one thing. Maybe you don't want to be a landlord, but maybe if it buys you some time to correct your finances or whatever's going on, job change, job loss, all that kind of stuff, maybe you do become a landlord for at least a short period of time.
A lot of people did that back then. A lot of people did it because it did tank. Yeah.
And so they became accidental landlords. And, mm-hmm. and while it's similar now, there is no expectation. None of us have a crystal ball, so we could have a catastrophic, you know, world events that affects the economy and prices tank. But as it stands now, looking forward, you know, you will probably continue to see appreciation at a decent rate. And the one thing that people don't realize is, like, if you go buy a stock, unless you're buying a margin, right, you buy $100 worth of stock, it costs you $100. Real estate is still an investment that you get to leverage. So you put 3% down, 5%, 20% down. But if it goes up 10%, it's 10% on the whole value. So right. You bought a $400,000 house, and you put $40,000 down, and it goes up 10%, that's a 100% return on those dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good point.
Yes, before you hit the panic button and you know, freak out about anything, you know, talk to your agent who sold you the house or another agent or whatever, but really understand the economics and the repercussions if you do let the house go all the way to foreclosure with an equity position, because once it's gone, it is gone.
Right. And I think, you know, for anybody that's out there, you know, thinking today, well, am I going to pay too much with that 14% appreciation that has happened? You know, the inventory of homes out there is just so low in comparison to years past. I mean, we're at summertime inventories that are more like what we used to see in the winter, right? And mm-hmm. So supply and demand, we're not at 36,000 listings on the market. So when you're dealing with a market like this and you have not as much to choose from, and foreclosures and short sales aren't really an option out there as much for deal hunting. And the ones that are out there, everybody sees the late night TV shows and they're like, I want to go look at short sales and foreclosures. But at the end of the day, it's the estate sales and relocation sales
yes.
that, you know, are the ones you want to get. I mean, everybody's seen, you know, the buy as is, we buy ugly houses, whatever it may be out there. That's what these people are buying. And that's how they're making money, is right. they can look past, you know, some cosmetic work. They can look past poor photos and can pick up a good house. You know, these a lot of these estate sales, you know, maybe there's still grandma's furniture that hasn't been moved out yet, and boxes everywhere and shag carpet from the 1970s in the home. Sure. But underneath that, it's hardwood floors. It's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can put a little bit of money in and get a great home, you know? I know, you know, when I'm out there with a buyer, that's kind of the houses that I'm looking for, are the ones where it's vacant and it's empty and they don't have really great photos, or if they're really poor quality, you know, yeah. dark, cluttered room, whatever. There's lots of things. It's the houses that have the really pretty wide angle lenses and staging and all of that that go into multiple offers and sell right away. So, you know, a good tip for deal hunting, look for the ones that maybe don't shine the most online. And that's the ones you want to be setting up the showings for.
Can I just say that my favorite listings are the ones that don't sell right away, but in like the agent or public remarks, mm-hmm. it still says like, hurry, like this one won't last. I love it. This one won't last. It's been on the market 90 days.
Yeah. One thing real quick too, guys, is, you know, I talked to folks about the cost of waiting.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have mentioned 14%, you know, increase in value from year to year. It's hard to save 7 to 14% in 1 year, mm-hmm. and it's not a sales tactic or anything. But when you say I'm going to sign another lease or I'm going to, you know, move in with mom and dad, that's fine. But just realize to save that kind of money on top of your other expenses is very hard to do. So
no, we've talked about in the past. It's like, you know, you didn't go out to Enterprise and rent your first car. You bought what you could afford then.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And so when you're buying a first house, you buy what you can afford today.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's virtually, yeah, very, very hard to out save appreciation.
Yeah. You know? It's often now where someone comes to me and they want to buy a single family home, which that's my goal too. But at the end of the process, once we dig into their budget and financials, those people are really start looking at townhomes, mm-hmm. possibly condos, because it's not your forever home. you know, it's an equity builder that they can start with.
So one of the things that, you know, you get out there, you find that home, that first home that works for you, and you like it, it's time to make that offer, right? And a lot of people put a lot of weight in this making an offer. Right. You know, it's many people have like, well, do we do our inspection beforehand, you know, stuff like that. There is a process to this, and it's really making an offer is exactly that. It's not, hey, we're closing tomorrow, here's all the money. It's this set of pieces of the pie that are going to come together to get you to closing date. So we say in the classes we do, an offer is just an offer, right? You can't get anywhere with that until you make that step. So you want to take the time with your agent to really evaluate, you know, what's that home worth, and then what's that home worth to you? That is an important piece because, you know, there may be situations where multiple offers happen on a house. And, you know, we know that list price is not an accurate reflection of value. And so you have to determine exactly what is that home worth so you don't end up, like you say, make a bad choice on a home and end up going in over your head and underwater. Yeah.
I mean, right? one of the best things is, you know, the money you make when buying real estate is on the purchase.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Exactly. It's not banking on appreciation to get you out of the hole. It's understanding what to look for on the front end. Mm.
Very important to understand that.
So when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about the offer making process and some things that you can do to leverage and make it so you don't necessarily have to be the highest offer out there and have your offer accepted. And for sellers, this is good stuff to know. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And again, check us out online, TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com.
Not every title company is the same. There are many people involved with each real estate transaction, and all of them need to be in the loop or a closing may get delayed. This is why the people at Network Title strive to provide swift scheduling and communication between the buyers, sellers, agents, and lenders. We know moving can be stressful, however, your closing does not need to be. Check us out online at network-title.com.
Hi, I'm Ruben with Structure Tech Home Inspections. Everyone knows you should have a home inspection before you buy a home, but we've heard of home buyers being encouraged to skip the home inspection in this crazy market to make their purchase offer more attractive. Now they're facing tens of thousands of dollars in unexpected repairs. I'm telling you now, don't skip the home inspection. Here at Structure Tech, we can get your home inspected quickly, and we offer a full line of services. Visit us online at structuretech.com to learn more.
My name is James Tobson with Country Financial. Anyone can sell you insurance, however, is it going to be the insurance you need? When life pops up with its surprises, you want the right coverage. When it comes time to find or renew your policy, give me a call. I would love to review your existing policy and show you what I can do for you. You can email me at james.tobson@countryfinancial.com or give me a call at 651-365-3408.
People always ask realtors, what is your commission? But what they should be asking is, what is your rate of return? Commissions only vary by a couple of percent from agent to agent. However, the price per square foot you get just based on their experience and the quality of marketing they use can vary by 10% or more. At Bricks Real Estate, our agents use the right marketing and have the experience to get you top dollar for your house. See what we can do for you at BricksTwinCities.com.
Hi, I'm Becca, owner of Grey Duck Staging. With today's home buyers beginning their journey exclusively online, the look and feel of your home matters more than ever. Whether it's a simple in-home consultation, a refresh using your current furniture, or a whole home staging, our goal is always the same: showing your home in the best light and helping you achieve the highest sales price possible. To learn more, visit us at greyduckstaging.com or check us out on Instagram at greyduckstaging.
Don't fall for the billboards or the clickbait. There is no such thing as today's rate. Mortgages and mortgage rates are individual to you. Chad Preby and Eric Bloomstrand with Bell Bank Mortgage are here to show you the formula to get your best rate. Once you know this formula, you can mortgage shop with confidence. Find us online at chadpreby.com. That is chadpreby.com. NMLS 146-2493, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Today, wrapping up our series on home buying and talking about finding some of the better deals out there, what to expect in the offer process, home inspections, and the mortgage process once you make an offer. So yeah, jumping back into it, we talked about how making an offer is just an offer. That's like such a big thing. Like it is, you know, once a buyer does it, it's like, oh, that was easy, you know, but that first initial step can be very difficult for somebody. You know?
It's like dating, right? You ask somebody out on a first date. I mean, that's kind of the offer. It's, you don't show up on the first date with an engagement ring.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a little bit to get there, but
yeah, I mean, you can't get the house without making that first step. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not the commitment to buy tomorrow. It's this set process that you have to go through. So, you know, first you're going to have your inspection contingency, hopefully, right? Mm-hmm. And that you're going to go through, and that's where you do your due diligence, right? If you're buying a condo or a townhome, you're going to have the review period so you can review all the condo docs and financials and meeting minutes and all of that. And so this is your opportunity to learn more. And you know, if your agent's writing the purchase agreement well, you should be getting, if you decide to withdraw based on either of those contingencies, you shouldn't be losing out on any of your earnest money. Right?
18 years, never had a client lose a single penny of earnest money.
Nope, I never have either. Yeah. It's you know, just making sure things are written correctly to have those protections in place. We talked that there may be some ways that you don't necessarily have to be the highest offer out there. You know, when you do end up in a multiple offer situation, they may call for what's called highest and best. Well, highest and best. So what's the highest you can go and the best that you can go? That doesn't necessarily mean they're automatically going to go for somebody else's offer if it's higher. You know, because if other terms don't line up as well, it might not work for that seller, you know? And so I always encourage, you know, try to be flexible on your closing date. That can be huge. Or a move-out date, possibly.
Right.
I know Joe, who's a regular on this show, has talked about that. You know, can you do a delayed possession or something like that, which will give the seller a little bit more time and maybe be able to breathe easy on a move-out? And making sure that your agent is building that rapport. I think that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anecdotal story. So I had a deal recently, and it was, we had a highest and best situation. The agent calls, texts, emails, calls. How many offers now? How many offers now?
You were the listing agent.
I was the listing agent. Yeah. And I can tell you, almost universally, like her approach was so off-putting that I can tell you with pretty high degree of certainty, they come off as, we're going to be easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actually some of the most difficult. So building rapport doesn't mean constantly
pestering.
Yes. Yeah. And so right before the offer deadline, they actually pulled their offer. And it was like, I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
It was like, we dodged a bullet. Glad mm-hmm. we didn't have the deadline earlier, because they were the best offer at the moment. And they almost always do something like that. Pull the offer or have some very bizarre term or whatever. But
yeah. Well, yeah, we mentioned that before we came out of break, you know, for sellers out there, you know, making sure that you are picking, or your agent is picking, really as well, the people that are going to be easier to work with, right? Yeah. You know, dollars and cents can look great, but if it doesn't make it to closing, it's no good, right? So it's
sellers care about money for the most part, first and foremost. Certainty of close and ease of process.
Yeah,
if you can focus on those three things when making your offer, and that, you know, you pull different levers, so you don't have to be the highest if you're going to be the easiest to work with. And there are ways to convey that message through the offer. You know, maybe the inspection is pass fail, or you have a guarantee, and we'll assume the first $5,000 in issues or something like that.
Well, that brings up, I mean, a great point, which is, you know, how do you put forth that inspection contingency as a buyer? Because, you know, I think when it comes to single family homes, that, you know, we're big fans of making sure that you do a home inspection, or at least be very, very well aware of the costs you might be taking on if you waive that, right? That it's something you want to try to do. But you brought up, you know, a pass fail home inspection, which is, you know, basically just like, hey, we just want to know what we're buying, And if, you know, it doesn't work out, we're not going to try to nickel and dime you. We're going to move on, and you can move on to the next offer. Right. Or you mentioned like a $5,000. Can you explain that, Danny?
So basically just some language that would stipulate, we're going to do our inspection. Every house has issues. Brand new construction has issues. Things you could do. Most of the things, unless they're immediately a health or safety concern, I've got things from two house purchases ago, that was 3 years ago, that I still haven't tackled.
Right.
Because it doesn't actually affect the everyday use of the house. I should get to them. I will get to them at some point. So basically, you're just going to say, I'm not going to nickel and dime you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming after pink colors and things like that. We are looking at for significant health and safety related items. And assuming the total is up to some sort of threshold, we won't address anything.
Right.
And as long as you kind of budget for that and understand that you're going to go into a home purchase and want to make some changes and improvements as you go, again, you're conveying that we're going to be relatively easy to work with, and we're going to focus on the big picture.
And bringing this right into home inspections, you don't want to go into the mindset of, well, what more can we get out of the seller, right? Because that's a great way to have a seller just go, nope, we're done, and walk away, right? I would say focus on those health and safety issues. Like if there's something that's really, electrical problem or plumbing or gas or foundation, roof, stuff like that, that's what we're really kind of looking for.
So another example, there are buyers out there that have been looking for 3 years because they're always trying to get that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, so what are we, 25, 30% up over 3 years, roughly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's say a $300,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
30%,
mm-hmm.
trying to save $5,000 here,
mm-hmm.
cost you $90,000.
Yeah.
If you would have got ahead of it 3 years ago, you are significantly better off, but instead it was about the moment and getting the deal or winning or getting over on the seller. And
right.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
No, it's about coming together and make it work, right? And that's what we want to do, and you want to be reasonable. Going back to that analogy of the 16-year-old, you buy the car you can afford today. Guess what? That car typically is going to need some things.
Right.
You usually aren't buying that brand new car.
First car.
Ford F-350 1974.
Oof.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Nice. That thing sold it to my brother eventually, and the frame broke.
Nice. Wow.
But hey, nice. I got 2.5 years out of it.
It's a big car.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Mine was an 83 Honda Accord, maroon in and out.
Nice.
And that fell apart pretty quick, so I improved to an 84 Honda Accord, maroon in and out. It was a great time.
Sweet.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, that Ford, I mean, it had rust spots all over. It needed new tires. We constantly were working on that thing, but it's what I could afford then. It got me around to do what I needed.
Right.
So... You didn't say what car you had as your first one.
Mine was, I think it was an 80, mid-80s Blazer. I know it was a Blazer, but I'm not sure of the year.
Blazer, too.
Yeah, the leaf springs on it were really squeaky. So when I'd go through a parking lot or wherever, so I just bought my big bass boomers to over the squeak,
Mine backfired all the time.
Nice.
Spot star, it was pretty fun.
Very good. Yeah, I can see you driving around in that.
So, you're buying these things that are going to have some issues, but we're willing to take those on with the car, and you should be willing to take on some certain things with a house, that if you're buying, especially a single-family home, you're going to have some stuff. So you don't want to just every last little thing, because an inspection report's going to have 40 items that show up on there. So you make it through the inspection, and then there's some stuff going on behind the scenes with the loan, as far as the process. So what happens with the loan once an offer is accepted?
Yeah, good question. So once your offer is accepted, before that, you and your loan officer should be talking about your financing as far as different options, down payment options, different interest rate options. So when you get to the point where your offer is accepted, there's not a lot of stress in the numbers. You already know what that looks like. So really what it comes down to is how I approach this is, when's your inspection going to be completed?
Okay. Yeah, because you don't want to order the appraisal until you know you're moving forward.
Right, your cost in the inspection, maybe you got some sewer inspection radon, that can equal, $5 to $1,000, let's say. We don't want to jump in and order the appraisal to find out maybe there is a major issue with the inspection for you to back out. So set the expectations That way, once your inspection's cleared, we then order the appraisal. There's going to be some one-offs where we want to get the appraisal ordered sooner than later because of the close time.
Yep.
Number two is going to be, when is your closing date? Because that's going to determine the lock period. Okay, we're going to lock your rate for a 30-day, 45-day, 60-day, 90-day, 120-day lock period. Each one of those lock periods has a different little bit of price, different pricing model on that interest rate. So from there, we want to talk about locking in your rate.
Yep.
You look at today's market. I encourage my clients to lock in. And I'm not telling them you must lock in, but they do have the option. You can play the market or lock in the rate, but looking where we're at with interest rates.
And then from there, it goes, once the appraisal comes back, goes out to underwriting, and they're going to ask for all sorts of documents. And, and you don't want to get frustrated with this process.
No, you don't. And in some cases, I hear these horror stories where these clients are now just sending income documents in once their offer is accepted. And if you're working with a lender that's kind of at that point, you should be a little nervous because you're really not pre-approved. And I don't want to beat that up too much. But yeah, you're going to send in updated pay stubs. You're going to send some updated bank statements.
My last piece of advice before we end the show today is with appraisals. Remember, appraisals is a risk assessment for the bank. It's not market value. Market value is what buyers are willing to pay out there. And yeah, I mean, if you want to make sure that your process is going smooth, is get those documents to your loan officer when they ask for them, because they're going to check and recheck, right?
One more thing on appraisal. It is nothing more than an opinion of value either. You can have five appraisers out to the same property and come back with five different values.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Really good point. So people put stock in, well, it appraised for this, that is what it's worth. That's what that one person thinks it's worth.
Yeah.
So, as always, you can check out our past shows, TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. A lot of the stuff we're talking about right here, Smart Home Buyer Guide. Check it out there, TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com.